As we've been saying, you might have heard this phrase before, impermanence. Everything arises and passes away, and so does this retreat. But your retreat actually continues in a different form tomorrow when you go home. It ends in this form, but it continues in another form. So I'd like to share some advice on your retreat after the retreat, on going home advice. And many of you have heard going home advice many times. For some of you, this is your first retreat. This is your first time you hear this. Whether it's the tenth time or the first time, I suggest you listen to these words with a beginner's mind. There might be something that this time you're going home, it will land differently for you. So I have two baskets of suggestions. One basket of advice is about how to take care of yourself after leaving tomorrow. And another basket is about how to continue your practice at home. So, taking care of yourself after leaving tomorrow, even though you may not realize, you are in an altered state. You don't realize how calm you are, how quiet you are. It just all seems normal. But tomorrow, I think when you start talking, when you start leaving the space, driving home, being on the road, you'll notice, oh boy, I'm not in Kansas anymore. So the suggestion is the same as when you came in. We said, be gentle, be kind. Guess what? Be gentle, be kind. Especially even more so, your mind is quiet, you're sensitive, you're a lot more sensitive than you realize. To sights, to sounds. Don't go to any wild parties for a few days. Not recommended, not a good idea. You may want to kind of take it easy even on social interactions a little bit, and just make sure you take some time to be alone, to be in nature, time to sit and walk, and just transition slowly. Don't read all your email at once. Not a good idea. Been there, done that, do not recommend it. That's an easy way to get completely overloaded and just like, whoa, get a headache. So with email especially, open, just do it in stages, titrate. Just take a look at what the subject lines are. Okay, take a break, go away, come back. Just read the important ones, maybe a few. Okay, enough. Go away, sit, walk, do something. Just come back, maybe in an hour, see, read a little more. Not in one go. It'll be there. Don't worry. It won't go away. You might find that making decisions is a little more difficult. You might find that a little more you're more tender. You might find that you're more affected by things. It's all normal. You might find, yeah, you're much more tender and even you might cry at movies you usually don't cry at. And so all of it is part of just the tenderness. It's okay. It'll take you one more week after this retreat, because the retreat has been seven days. It'll take you another 7 days to gently come on the other side. So if anything seems a little different, it's part of the retreat. Be easy on yourself. Be gentle on yourself. And especially, don't make any life-altering decisions. Don't make any major decisions in the next week. I'm going to sell my home, sell everything, move to the east, become a monk. Just wait another couple of weeks. These decisions can wait. Also titrate news. You might find yourself being overwhelmed by emotions and by news. I mean, this is a good idea anyway, to titrate your intake of news, not to the point of being completely overwhelmed, because you want to have the stability to take action in the world. And if you're completely overwhelmed by emotion, it's harder to have that stability to act from a wise place. So take in news, of course take in news, but be wise about it, how you're doing that, what your diet of news actually is, and how it can be effective. In the social realm, there will be people who are curious how it was. They'll ask you, how was it? How was it? All they really want to know is that you haven't joined the cult, and you're okay, and you had a good time. So might be a good idea just to keep it simple, because if you go on and tell them this happened and that happened and I saw this and that, you know, their eyes might just glaze over. So people who are really, really interested, they will ask you, and your practice could be an inspiration for them. But at first, it's best to just keep it simple. It was good. It was fine. I had a great time. Whatever you want to say. Keeping it simple at first is better. And also the other aspect of that is, if you keep repeating to everyone the most profound aspects of your experience here, it will start to lose its meaning. It will just become words, words on a tape player. And you start to wonder, did that really happen? Was it really that special? So be wise about what you share and what you don't share. Also, in this practice, we suggest that you don't proselytize and go, this going on a retreat is for you. You should go on a retreat. Those people will be inspired on their own. Be a Buddha. Don't talk about Buddhism. Because if you are a Buddha, people will be inspired by the way you're changed, by who you are. You don't have to so much talk about it. Proselytize. And just as Gil spoke about earlier today, this retreat feeling, this calm, spacious feeling, if you have a fear of losing it, fear not. It will fade. You will lose it. This will not stay, because this feeling is born out of causes and conditions. And when the cause and conditions are not here, that feeling will go away. However, you are taking the practice, the changes that have happened, what you've seen, you're taking that with you. You are changed. You cannot go back to how you were 7 days ago. You just can't. This experience has affected, has changed you, has changed your brain, has changed your body. You are a different person. You can't go back to where you were. You're taking this retreat with you. And in terms of continuing your practice at home, I really appreciated what Gil suggested today with the practice of vows, of intentions. That's a really powerful practice, really powerful. And having explored these resolves, these beautiful resolves together, any of those, if you made any of those your intention, or any personal intention you have for your life, your highest intention, that can be your practice, the foundation of your practice. And speaking of practice, there is formal practice on the cushion, and it is a good idea to sit. It is a good idea to sit, of course. If you can, if your life allows it, then make a commitment to sit, but make the commitment such that you cannot possibly fail, so it's not another thing on your, oh, I'm a failure list. If you're retired, if you have been sitting 2 hours a day, 4 hours a day, that's your lifestyle, great, go for it. Make that your intention. But if you have a job and a family and this and that, make it reasonable. Make it, maybe it's just 5 minutes a day. Maybe it's just 10 minutes, something you can't fail. Maybe it's just if 3 days a week, 5 days a week, whatever it is that works for you. Maybe it's just in the evening. Maybe it's just in the morning. One thing I learned from a teacher of mine years ago, his recommendation was to, and I actually tried this for a long time, he suggested to make the commitment so low. So the commitment would be, it was just sit down, just sit, take a few breaths, and that's it, you're done. So the commitment's basically just put your tush on the cush. That's the commitment. And I actually did that for a long time. I would do that. I'm like, okay, I've committed. I would sit, I would take a few breaths. It felt pretty good. I would take a few more breaths. It felt pretty good. And depending on the day, I would sit 5, 10, 20, 30 an hour, depending on the day. But I had succeeded. And some days I would actually sit. It would be a minute and I would get up. But I had done it. I hadn't failed. I had succeeded. I had put my tush on the cushion. It was done. So if that works for you, give that a try. That really worked for me. Actually, it was a cause of delight. It just kind of like, oh, I'm doing this thing. And then there is informal practice. The informal practice, mindfulness of the body that we talked about, that's profound practice for daily life. When you're sitting in a meeting, when you're listening, when you're talking, mindfulness of the body, come back to your body. What's happening? What are you feeling? When you're reading an email, I'm anxious. This email really made me anxious. I feel it in my chest. I feel it in my palms. Stealth metta, that's powerful practice when you're public transport. That was my practice for a while on BART. I wished everyone happiness and health and ease, and it was just fun. There were so many people on BART I wished well for. And now I don't take BART anymore, so when I drive, I am so much happier and calmer when I get to the other side. Especially reserving special metta for people who are either driving really fast or cutting me off. And every opportunity is a teacher. Everything in your life can serve as a teacher. Your practice does not end on the edge of your cushion. The whole world, everyone you meet is your teacher. Everyone you meet is your teacher. And just a couple more words about support. Find a local sangha. Find an online sangha. Let your mind swim in the Dharma. Read books, magazines, podcasts. Many of you already know that Audio Dharma, which is where these talks are going to be, there's a podcast of Audio Dharma. It automatically gets uploaded to your phone, and it's pretty awesome. So for me, I listen to Gil actually regularly. It just gets uploaded. Oh, let's see what Gil has done. You know, it's what this week's talk was about. So it's easy. And sign up for retreats. Sign up for retreats early and often. Right after you leave this retreat would be a good time to sign up for the next one. Do however many retreats a year you can, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever your life allows. Retreats are great refreshers. And most importantly, don't do your practice as something separate. Your practice is not something separate from your life. Your life is your practice. There's no separation. Don't see it as separate. So with that, I'd like to stop. And we're going to open it up.